5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Circus! Afro Circus! Afro Circus! Afro
Welcome to the Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a dad
and a mom
talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in our own circus.
We are not professionals. The only credentials we have are four kids. So do your research and find what works for you.
Hello, fellow ringleaders. We are your hosts, Barry and Crystal Ricks.
Wow.
So, hi, honey.
Hi.
It's we're recording.
It is the day before the 4th of July.
That's right. Day. Tomorrow, you're... And if you're a dedicated listener, you will listen to this on the 4th.
Happy 4th of July.
That's right. So that's going to be fun. And we had some fun things to talk about.
So let's talk about it.
Because we had an early episode last week.
Oh, right.
And so this is a regularly scheduled episode. So let's talk about our crazy circus.
Our regularly scheduled circus.
It's time for the stories of the week.
You just always have to add your own little 2 cents in there, don't you?
Every single time. You had to establish that this is regular.
Every single time, it's just like, I'm like, let's talk about our crazy circus. You're like, let's do. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, it's like you have to have the last word. It's like, I will make us go into the next segment, not you.
No, I'm like Lightning McQueen. Kapow!
Kapow!
Kajigga! Kajigga! That's me. I'm Chick Hicks. I'm the annoying one.
With the nasty mustache.
Yes, that is me.
That's right. So hot. So, we went on vacation last weekend. It's kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing. I earned a free day off of work for an event that we participated in on a Saturday, which, not a work day. But we had to take it before the end of this pay period.
In other words... In the next week and a half, you can take a day off.
So I call Crystal up and I'm like, hey, I have a day off. Let's take Monday off and we can have a 3-day weekend and drive to Dallas, Texas.
Yay.
And we're like, okay, let's do it. We had some money saved away. Money that was supposed to go to our anniversary trip. But we decided to spend it on our family instead. So we went to Dallas, and I just have to say right away that our kids are actually really good travelers.
They are. And no one barfs this time.
No barfs this time. Usually there's at least one barf. But like, our kids are good kids. Like, we've done, like, to Dallas, it's like 6 hours.
Barry, knock on wood.
But.
You just jinxed the heck out of us.
But we've gone on 18-hour-long trips, and yeah, our kids are still, they're pretty awesome.
Knock on wood.
So, I knocked.
But, double knock.
And I can only imagine as they get older, it'll just get easier and easier, because then they'll just be like moody teenagers that have their headphones in, and they just keep to themselves, and then we'll be partying up in the front, be like, whoop! Cool parents.
Well, I was just gonna say that. Cool parents.
So I think that's cool. I think our kids are great when it comes to traveling.
We are jinxed up the wazoo because of this conversation.
Or maybe we could just be positive. #worst case scenario mom. That's the hashtag of the week.
I'm just realistic.
We're gonna do that.
#realistic.
No. We're gonna do that every week though. You're gonna have a hashtag for something.
Okay.
But
I'd rather be #worst case scenario girl than #pee face mom.
Like you were last week?
Yes.
Well, you were #pee face mom, so just deal with it. but what'd we do while we were in Dallas, honey?
What did we do?
I don't know, what'd we do?
Well, it's kind of funny because our son has been getting the Lego magazine.
Yeah,
it's like a free Lego Club magazine.
The Lego Club magazine.
For a bit. And they always have an ad for Legoland.
Discovery Center Legoland.
And he always is bringing it to us and saying, look, I have a ticket to Legoland. Let's go. And we're like, dude, it doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. But We did some research, and the Lego Discovery Land in Dallas also had a bundle ticket with the aquarium. And so we're like, let's just go for it. So our trip was basically going to a mall. Which made me realize.
It was a pretty cool mall, though.
We're so small town that we're like, let's go to the mall.
Let's go to the mall.
A food court. Score.
This is amazing. There's like 12 restaurants in one place.
Right. Because our mall. It's a real. In Lubbock. The mall we have to drive to that's 2 miles away, hours away, has like a pretzel store.
No, they have a food court. We just never go to it.
Do they have a food court?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well, then our mall stinks because we don't even.
It's set up poorly. The design of it is weird, but the design of the mall we went to in Dallas is a circle. And it's perfect. So you just walk in a giant circle and you never have to go down twists and turns. And you go to malls where it's like you reach a four-way intersection. And you're like, which way did I go? But this one was just a circle. So you just walked in one direction the whole time.
Yep. We're just a bunch of lemmings.
That's right.
But it's funny because we would talk to locals and they'd say, why are you here? And we're like, we're here to go to
Legoland,
and they're like, you're
doing something else, right?
Yeah, and you're like, nope, just going to the mall,
Legoland.
I'm like, you people don't understand what you have.
I know, right? It's, they take it for granted.
But it was way fun. Legoland was fun, except for, they had some rides there that our youngest couldn't go on, and it was devastating.
Well,
for him, not for us.
There was one ride that could have been a lot more fun for our older kids, too. They were like little go-karts, but they were basically the giant Hot Wheel cars, right?
Right.
Power
Wheels.
Power Wheels, thank you.
Yeah. But they were designed like the Lego City.
Yeah, the Lego City. It looked like a Lego car you were driving. And so our kids are like going at it, and then there's this little child that obviously had no idea how to drive a vehicle. Why was he in there? I don't know, because our little child...
He was like 3.
Hey, our kids were awesome. They're just trying to pass this kid, but he would jerk the wheel to one side and just cut off everybody.
Yeah, and then he'd move.
And then he'd be sideways. And then the worker would have to come over and physically move the car. And then he'd jerk the wheel to the other side and do the same. And he blocked not just our kids, but all the kids.
Basically, when they should have made 6 laps.
They made 3.
Maybe.
Grayson made 3 because he was aggressive. He's like, out of my way, boom!
Yeah, but our girls got really frustrated.
Especially, our girls did.
It was hard. It was so hard. Usually I'm not that dang kid. But this time I was get off the road! You stink!
Yeah, move into the slow lane!
My road rage was coming out.
That's right.
But it was frustrating.
But we noticed that his parents were frustrated too. At least the dad was. The dad's like, move your car!
So, I think the only problem with the Legoland day was that we drove to Dallas after work. It's a 5.5-hour drive.
Yeah.
And our kids, for some reason, managed to stay up
they
the entire up time.
The whole, yeah, they
without
did.
Tech and without movies. And I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, for the last, 2 hours?
At 9 o'clock, we turned off everything.
Yeah, the last 2 hours, we turned off everything, hoping that everyone would fall asleep.
Yeah, and the two oldest didn't. The two youngers
the
did.
The two younger
right?
ones did.
But yeah. The two olders didn't. And I think it was because there's so many lights and signs that.
Yeah, it was exciting.
Our town goes to bed at 9.
Yeah.
And they're like, wow, look at that. And the moon was big. So there was a lot to look at. And so they didn't go to bed until after midnight. So the next day it was the littlest thing was just.
And you have a time, terrible. A designated time on your tickets to go into Legoland. So it was 9:30, but we had to get up at least at 8 to go get our free breakfast at the hotel. And so we got up early. So we only slept 6-7 hours, which is not a long. It's plenty for an adult, but not enough for a kid. And so there were moments, surprisingly, it was generally good, but there were moments of whoa, you're tired.
Like the laser game.
Oh, yeah, the late. That was, like, towards the end of the day, though.
But the problem is we have some super competitive children. Don't know where they got that from.
You make it sound like it's me, but it's both of us.
I did mean both of us.
But you were like, I wonder where they got that from.
It's not like I nudged you.
Obviously, it's not me.
No, okay. Don't know. Just no, I do
stop,
know.
Stop.
They got it from us.
There you go. Stop. Just stop.
You stop.
You stop.
I'm competitive. You stop.
You stop first.
There, my point has been proven.
All right.
Anyway, so we're all competitive, and there's this game where you ride through like a mystical medieval town thing.
Yeah.
And you shoot goblins and targets and spiders. And
yeah, you have a...
It's a laser
gun. It's a laser tag gun that you shoot targets, and it keeps track of your points.
Yeah, and our kids didn't necessarily catch on to what they should be shooting, and by the end, that was, like, bad.
Well, the four-year-old scored zero, so that wasn't very good at all. Jay actually was... She was happy with her score, but then the oldest
was... Okay, I'm trying to keep the names out of it.
Oh.
I'm just saying some of them...
My bad, sorry.
...didn't take it very well.
If you're a listener of long listener of the show, you know which children we are referring to.
But, so that was the worst part of it. And the other thing was our kids are super, super picky eaters. So at that continental breakfast, they didn't eat anything. And I was like, we're not leaving till you eat something.
Yeah.
So we grab a little thing to eat in the car, like a muffin and a fruit or something. And they didn't eat it.
Yeah.
So we get to Legoland, and you can't leave once you go in.
Yeah, it's not like it.
And you can't take food in. So we were in there for 2 hours.
And we didn't want to buy their cafe food that they have in there. Because
$7 for a banana.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And so, yeah, they were cranky.
And hungry. And then mom still said, let's go outside and play. Because they have a splash pad, even though no one really wanted to go out except for the youngest.
I wanted to go get lunch.
I wanted to make the most of our expensive trip.
So we stayed there for, what, 20, 30 minutes maybe in the splash pad?
Yeah, with two of the kids just sitting at our table pouting.
Yeah. But then after we got lunch, and everyone was pretty happy about lunch.
Right, and once again, we ate lunch at the mall.
Yeah.
Because that was our whole trip.
It was the food court, but everyone got to eat where they wanted.
I know, that was nice.
So Grace is like, I want to eat at Taco Bell. Okay, because I can just go next door and get some, you know, Chinese food. And so.
Except it was crazy busy.
It was, yeah.
And we just wandered around.
It was crazy busy, but that's okay.
Yeah. So, it was good. And then we went to the aquarium the next day. Well,
no,
2 days later.
2 days later.
That was fun.
And that was super fun. I love aquariums.
I could look at fish every day.
They're really cool. And we saw, like, a manta ray, like, dance on the top of the water. It was really cool.
I said, we're so small town.
It was, like, flapping. But, like, half of its body was out of the water. And it was, like, flapping on the... I'm like, what? They do that? That's crazy.
Honey, take a pic.
Honey. Look at that fish there.
Seriously, we sound so bad.
But
it was fun.
Yeah, and we visited family that lived in the Dallas area on Sunday. And
wait, so the big thing on the aquarium, and this is how they get you. You go through all the fun stuff, and then you have to exit out of this gift shop.
The gift shop, of course.
So we walk through the gift shop, and our kids are, like, crazy. Well, a couple of them are crazy obsessed with stuffed animals.
Yeah.
And there's these cute little, like, dolphins and...
Sharks.
Everything, and they're
She wanted a shark.
Our four-year-old was like, I have to have this! And it was bad. It was, like, drag her out of the store bad.
But luckily, we were able to go to the Disney store in the mall. They had flip-flops that are on clearance.
Yeah.
And so we let everyone buy a pair of...
Shoes are on clearance!
These shoes are on sale! And we let our kids buy some flip-flops, and they were totally happy. So it's like, instead of spending, you know, $30 on a Build-A-Bear, which was in the mall too...
Wait, we're gonna get back to that.
Oh.
That's part of our topic.
Right.
No, but the other thing was, our two-year-old saw... an adult-sized t-shirt with sharks on it. And he was like, dark, dark.
Like, it was bigger. It was like a triple X.
Yeah, and he takes it off of the clothing rack. and carries it around, and I'm fighting him, like, yanking it out of his arms, because he's like, no, Thark, Thark! And I was like, no one's gonna wear this ugly shark shirt.
Why was this made?
Not even us small town folks will wear that.
But, yeah.
That was the only frustrating thing. But the food was awesome.
Yeah, it was. Mall food.
Those big city malls are amazing.
That should be the title of our episode. Like, mall food. Anyway.
So, trip was good. We get home. And what time did we get home? Like, I mean, it was late. Or
no,
it
wasn't.
What was nighttime?
No, we got home like at 7 or 8.
Yeah, nighttime.
Wasn't even dark yet. How about that?
Anyway, but it's bedtime. It was late-ish.
Bedtime.
Late-ish, I'll
and
give you that.
And kids were tired.
Yeah, but so we get home, and then my kids go, oh yeah, tomorrow's story time, and the pool party. And so, and I was expecting to spend the next day in my pajamas at home doing nothing. Because you know how trips, even if they're fun, are like...
You need a vacation from your vacation.
Yeah. And so I was like, ugh, story time. But then I remembered, on top of that remembering, that Lacey still hasn't completed her story time challenge for the summer to earn the pool party. The other two kids have earned it, and I just could not bring myself to let her lose that when the other kids finished it all. And she's been working on it, too. But anyway, so she still had to pass off 2 hours of reading for the party. So at nighttime, we hooked up the kids with a story podcast.
Yeah.
And the girls stayed up late to listen to a story.
And that's what it's called. It's called Stories Podcast.
Yeah,
and
it's fun.
They do audio kids stories, and it's actually really cool.
Yeah. And then so in the morning, they get up at 7. I'm like, we still have an hour and a half to go. We can do it. And story time's at 10:30. And Lacey is like, no, I don't want to. I want to watch a movie and I want to go outside. And she's throwing this huge tantrum on my bed. And I kept saying, well, do you want to go to the pool party? And she's like, nah. And part of me, or I said, okay, fine. You either listen to these podcasts or not go to the pool party. And she still threw a fit. And then so I ended up pulling up, they're called tumble books on the computer, where they're like sort of animated. It's like an interactive story.
It's an interactive story.
Yeah. So I pull up tumble books and set the girls in front of the computer. And they watched an hour and a half of tumble books. So I got to pass it off. And she barely made it to that party.
Yeah. But tell them about what you found out about some restrictions regarding the pool party.
Oh, yeah. So our three oldest kids are in the party. And I was like, yes. And I'm picturing our whole family's going to go. And
it's
going to
be
fun.
A fun family experience.
Yeah. And I talked to the librarian saying, since all my kids earned it, can my husband and my baby come? And she was like, oh, no. They can't come. Oh, no. At first she said, well, I don't know why they'd want to, because he'd want to get in the pool. Talking about our two-year-old.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, that's the idea.
And she said, well, no, he can't come. Anyway, it was frustrating.
Yeah, so,
like,
so she was told that we couldn't bring Jackson to the pool party.
Part of me understands, because if they're going to let my kid in, why not let all the other kids that didn't earn the pool party?
Yeah.
But to me, he's not even like
he can't
a
read.
Full person. I know. It was like, but everyone earned it. I can't bring my family.
Yeah. And so then we came up with, like, now it was the dilemma. Well, who's going to take the kids to the pool party and who's going to stay home with the two-year-old? So daddy won going to the pool party.
I like how you said you won.
That's right.
You didn't lose.
No, I won. And but it was fun. Like, we went there, and it's just a smaller pool, but they had, you know, big enough that they had a single slide and stuff like that. But I happened to run into one of our Jay's friend was there, and so her friend's dad was there too. So we actually
there was another guy there.
There was another guy there, so we talked and then stayed there for an hour and 45 minutes, because it was just a 2-hour thing, and I'm like, Let's just go right now because they're going to be ushering people out in a minute. And yeah.
Part of me thinks, well, that's ridiculous. I don't want to run and do this again. But part of me thinks that was great that our kids accomplished something mostly on their own, except for Lacey. But they really worked hard for that, so I guess it's good.
Yeah, and they had a great time. And I had a good time, too.
I had a great time.
Did you? With Jackson?
I actually had a meeting, so it was good.
Yeah. So, no, it turned out nicely, and we were pretty happy about it. So, yeah.
We have other things, but we're running out of time.
We're running late.
Basically.
I just want to say one thing, because we talk about it all the time. Crystal always mentions that she's at Walmart, and, like, when our kids act out or, like, something crazy happens, like, people just stare at her. And I'm always like, you're always just saying that.
He never believes me.
And we all went together as a family the other night, and one of our children was throwing a major fit.
Major. No. Like, it was, like, the worst fit I've ever seen.
It was huge. Like, to the point
over
where
a bouncy ball versus a stuffed animal out of the claw machine.
And we had to drag this child literally out of the store.
I carried this child under my arm.
And while Chris was carrying this child, another child decides he wants to jump in front of my moving basket to jump on it. And I proceed to run over this child's toe and, like, rip part of their toenail off.
On accident.
So now they're bleeding and
and screaming.
Screaming. So I pick up this child. So we have two screaming children. And one of the children I just ran over with the shopping cart. And I looked around. Oh, yeah. There were people staring at us.
Ha!
Like, judging eyes.
In your face.
So I was just like, wow, it's true.
But in our defense, the one that I was carrying sounded like I was beating her over
the head.
Well,
it sounded like we were, like, kidnapping her or something like that.
I know. The only reason she was mad is because her sister won.
Her sister won
a stuffed animal.
A stuffed animal out of the claw machine.
And she got a bouncy ball.
She chose to get a bouncy ball out of the, you know, just a regular dispenser. And so, yeah.
Plus, she was tired.
Anyway, so that happened.
Awful. She was screaming bloody murder, and I was just carrying her out under my arm like a football, but it was awful.
But while we were on our trip, we thought about, you know, when you're on vacation, you want to make it a great experience, but when we were at the mall, like our kids wanted stuff, and part of us was like, oh, well, we should just buy our kids stuff because we're on vacation and make it a cool experience.
Okay, and you're worse about that than I am.
Yes.
Which is so surprising.
I am a...
We went into Build-A-Bear and he was like, honey, they're on sale.
Let's just buy all our kids one. And if she would have even agreed, I probably would have. But we're like, what is that? And, like, should we be doing that? And should we buy our kids stuff whenever we're on vacation or whenever we're doing anything? So we found an interesting article that...
Oh, we did say we did buy flip-flops.
That were on clearance, though. They were like $3. So we found an article that's from familylife.com, written by a children's author. And this is taken from...
Not a children's author, but an author that writes...
About... The psychology of
it's not like a children's
family and
book.
Children, yeah. And this is taken from her book, but the article is called "Stop Overindulging Your Children."
Right.
So take it away, honey.
Okay. What do your children really need from you? Love, guidance, shelter, food, clothing, medical care, and an education. That's it.
That's it.
Everything else is a want.
A luxury.
Video games, iPods, cell phones. Fashion, whatever they want.
Build-A-Bears.
Build-A-Bears. And extra large shark t-shirts.
Shark.
Dark.
Dark.
Dark. Anyway, so the point about this is that how parents fall for the nag factor. And it doesn't necessarily mean like your kid's just sitting there whining at you, but it's the constant asking.
And it's not necessarily constant asking at that moment. It's like one day they'll ask you, then the next day they'll ask you.
Right.
Or they'll maybe wait and be sneaky. 3 days later, they'll ask you for the same thing that you've been saying no to.
Right. And they say, this was interesting. According to a recent survey of youth commissioned by the Center for New American Dream, the average 12 to 17-year-old who asks a parent for products will ask 9 times until the parents finally give in.
Yes. So, for parents of tweens, the problem is particularly severe. More than 10% of 12 to 13-year-olds, so, you know, not the 12 to 17, but a smaller group of 12 to 13-year-olds, admit to asking their parents more than 50 times for products they've seen advertised. Kids have learned that if they nag enough for long enough, parents will give in.
That's crazy. Don't you think at some point you'd be like, be quiet?
Well, that also makes me also happy that we don't have cable. And our kids...
I thought the same
our
thing.
Our kids don't see advertisements because they never ask for those things unless we go to the store and they just see it on the shelf, which is a different type of scenario because you're putting them in that situation. But I remember one time we visited family and they were watching TV because they had cable and a commercial came on for some cool toy. And then like automatically our kids were like, I want that.
Yeah.
I need that.
I need that in my life.
Yeah.
Well, and I was going to say the same thing. We went to my mom's house and she had an ad for like Walmart or something. And there was a picture of a Paw Patrol guitar. And both of my girls were like, I want it so bad. And like a couple months later, just yesterday, we're asking our kids because their birthday's next month. I asked our 4-year-old, so what do you want for your birthday? And the older one was like, ask her for the Paw Patrol guitar. And I was like, curse you, advertising.
Well, it's
just not getting a guitar.
We're not getting that because you'll never touch it.
I know.
It'll break within the first week.
Yeah, so...
At least stuffed animals are durable.
Right. But anyway, so kids have an issue with nagging. So she says, parents, stop falling for the nag factor.
That's right. Refuse to overindulge your kids. Sadly, our self-absorbed society has told parents to help their kids feel good about themselves. That it's the parents' duty to make their children happy. But underneath it all, kids don't need parents to make them happy. They need parents who make them capable.
Which I love because I remember as a new parent, I always felt like, well, I need to be playing with my kid all the time. I still feel that sometimes, but I remember...
I don't.
Especially with Pinterest, you're like, okay, I need to be making sensory bins for my kids and I need to sit down and play with them.
Dang, Pinterest has ruined the world.
I need to make sure that they can read by the time they go to preschool. And it's kind of that... I don't necessarily think it's the kids that make us feel that way, but it's other parents.
It's keeping up with the Joneses of parenting.
Right. Right. But our kids don't, that's not our job.
Yeah.
To necessarily fill that happiness role.
Yeah. Well, to entertain our kids.
Right.
Too.
Yes. That's good.
So Dr. Connie Dawson is a author of a book, but she says when parents give children too much stuff that costs money, do things for children they can do for themselves. Do not expect children to do chores. Do not have good rules and let children run the family. Parents are overindulging.
Right.
So.
Here's some other signs of overindulgence.
So we're going to
listen and see if you fit any of these.
Yeah, if you're guilty of any of these ones.
The first one is giving them experiences or things that are not appropriate for their age. Like allowing your 5-year-old to dress like a pop star.
Allowing your 12-year-old to watch a rated R movie.
And removing a curfew from a 16-year-old with a new driver's license.
First of all, why would you do that?
I don't like any of those.
I know, it's just like, and I, you know, we don't watch rated R movies. It's, in our opinion, it's full of content that you don't need to have exposed in your life. But I remember, you know, we've seen like PG-13 movies that we felt were pretty intense that like little kids, like the 5-year-old is actually there, not a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time I was at a video store and this kid probably who was 6, maybe 7, and he was looking at movies and he saw the movie Saw like 3 or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, look, Grandma, you remember when we watched that last week together? I'm like, whoa. Like, this 7-year-old watching Saw 3 with his grandma? I'm like, it was crazy. I'm like, why are you exposing your children to this stuff?
Well, and I thought it, fuck it.
You thought it.
I think it's interesting how that is a sign of overindulgence.
Yeah.
Because it is kind of that keeping up with the Joneses. Like, if my kid doesn't see this movie, but everyone else saw it, then I'm the one that looks like the bad parent to him.
Yeah, it's true. It's kind of just like when you talk about overindulgence, you're always just associate buying material items, but you're also giving them experiences that aren't appropriate for their age. And like I said, you know, dressing your five-year-old like a pop star when they should be dressing like a child.
Well, it's like Grayson, who's only a second grader, was at the store and he's like, look, it's Deadpool. And I was like, how do you even know what that is? And a bunch of kids in his class had seen it. And it just, that part of me was like, my poor kid is already feeling outcast because we're not letting him watch those things. It's kind of the same thing. Not that I'm going to let him watch it.
Ever.
But just saying. Anyway, but that ties into the next one.
So giving things to meet the adult's needs, not the child.
Right.
We thought this was really interesting.
Like a mom buying her daughter the trendiest clothes because mom believes it's a reflection on her own style.
Or a dad giving his son the standout wheels at 16 so dad's friends, as well as his son's friends, think he's the man.
A parent giving his or her child the best of the best in order to make sure the parent looks successful.
So it's kind of like living through your child and you're overindulging your child so that you look good in the eyes of others, not necessarily that because you want to give your kid things.
Now, I feel like all of us can fall under that because there's times when we're in public and I think, oh, my girl's hair looks so bad. Like, people are going to think that I don't care about their hair, you know, or just little things like that. Or if my kid misbehaves at church, I'm going to think, oh, everyone's thinking I'm the worst parent ever. So really, I do feel like how my kids look and how they behave is a reflection on me. I mean, it kind of is, but that's a hard thing to avoid.
But this says buying their daughter the trendiest clothes.
Right.
So you're spending all this money so that your child is hip and cool, you know, with the cool kids.
I'm just saying in a very small scale, I can kind of understand the pressure on
and
this one.
I can tell you now that my son will not have a nice standout pair of wheels at 16. If he does have anything, it's going to be a junker that I found on the side of the road.
Because that's safe.
Yep.
Next one is neglecting to teach children the life skills they need to survive in the real world behind their home. Like tying their shoes and tying shoes and dressing four-year-olds who are perfectly capable of dressing themselves.
Or doing the laundry for teenagers who are more than capable and need to learn to do it for themselves. And this, before we go continue on with this, it reminds me, and we've talked about this, Crystal and I have talked about this, and the whole, like, thing that's going on right now about the hashtag adulting.
It's not even a hashtag. Oh. It's like, I don't want to adult today.
I don't want to adult today.
Or adulting so hard.
Yeah, this and
just
that.
Just the term adulting.
And then we watched this video that was circling around Facebook, but it was talking about how that people, they say these things because they don't know how to.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to cook a proper meal. They don't
wash their clothes.
Or do their taxes. Or do any of these things. Or fix their clothes, you know, sewing. And the little video was talking about how, well, because schools don't have those classes anymore. You don't have home ec class anymore that teaches you how to cook or to sew. You don't have a financial class that teaches you, hey, this is how you pay your bills in the future. And this is how you can buy a house or buy a car.
Right, but I also think, more than schools, it's that parents are overindulging their kids.
Yeah, they just do it for them.
They're more focused on, like, trophy parenting, where you want your kids to excel in sports and and do extracurricular things that you think that's more important than teaching them life skills.
So this,
let's face it, teaching life skills isn't that fun.
But according to one study conducted in 2001, children who are overindulged are more likely to grow up to believe the following, and I thought a lot of these were interesting.
Right.
It is difficult to be happy unless one looks good, is intelligent, rich, and creative.
Next one. My happiness depends on most people I know liking me, aka Facebook.
Yeah. If I fail partly, it is as bad as a total failure.
Right. I can't be happy if I miss out on many of the good things in life.
Being alone leads to unhappiness.
If someone disagrees with me, it probably indicates that the person doesn't like me.
My happiness depends more on other people than it depends on me.
If I fail at my work, I consider myself a failure as a person.
Which is interesting because when you overindulge your kids, you create this sense of entitlement. And kids don't know how to fail in life because parents that overindulge don't allow their kids to fail.
And sports don't either.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Participation award.
The organizations, they're like, you get a trophy just for being here. He's like, no, no. Or the basketball league that we experienced a long time ago about, we don't keep score because everyone's a winner. They're like, what is wrong with you people? So it's good to fail. I mean,
I fail all the time.
Well, like Thomas Jefferson, he made the, you know, I haven't failed 10,000 times. I've only found 10,000 ways that didn't work.
Wasn't that Edison?
Is that Edison?
Thomas Edison?
Oh, Edison, not Jefferson.
Uh-oh. Not only do we not know adverbs and adjectives, we don't know our history.
No, I know that. Hey, that's an honest slip of Thomas's. But, you know, yeah, you got to teach your kids it's okay to fail because you learn from it and you improve from it. And,
well, and you're not going to be good at everything.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Like, that first one is like, it's difficult to be happy unless I look good, I'm intelligent, rich, and I like how it said, and creative. Mm-hmm. Like, people are like, oh, I can't do what that person is, so I don't have any self-worth anymore because I can't do that.
Right. Well, I look at cartoons, and they're, or not even just cartoons, but Disney shows, they're always about special kids that sing and dance, and everyone wants to grow up to be a pop star. And it even mentioned this, but everyone wants to be a pop star or a rapper or a famous dancer, and it's like, I'm sorry, chances are you're not going to be famous.
Well, and it's not just that, but the article talks about, like, when you ask a kid what they want to be, and a kid's like, okay, well, I want to play professional basketball. Okay, well, then you ask them, well, what are you doing to accomplish that goal? And a lot of times kids are going to be like, I don't know, you know, because they just...
I'm just amazing.
Just, they expect it to happen because that's what they want. But it's no, you can, it's not about shooting for the stars and not being able to achieve it. It's shooting for the stars and understanding what you need to do to be able to do that. Like, you need to work hard, you need to practice, you need to do all these things. You can accomplish it, but you have to, you know, have a plan. You have to do it. You right. can't just be like, I want this to happen and expect
don't
it to,
we all
expect it to happen and be like, well, life does not work like that.
Yeah, so here are their how to repair the damage of overindulgence. So number one is help your kids cultivate patience. This one I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
That they said the truth is parents often prevent their kids from learning patience. And they say we're caught up in a fast food society and we want to try and solve their problems for them instead of letting them figure it out themselves.
Well, it's kind of like what we talked about, how, you know, as parents and this culture and society nowadays, you know, we feel we have to entertain our kids all the time. And when your kids come up to you and say, I'm bored, you shouldn't be like, oh, well, let's do something so you're not bored anymore. No, you go, okay, you're bored. So figure it out. Figure out how not to be bored. Or if you're bored, you know what? Sometimes life is boring. You know, you just deal with it.
Yeah, or even simple things like, sometimes our six-year-old will play on the computer, or our oldest, and they'll be like, Mom, I can't figure this out. And I used to be like, okay, I'm coming, you know, and fix it for them. But now I try to do, well, read it and see if you can figure it out.
Figure it out yourself.
And most of the time, they do figure it out.
Yeah.
And I guess now that I see this, it's because I wasn't giving them opportunities to be patient.
Yeah, well, and a lot of times our kids don't see us being patient. Like, we expect to be gratified right. immediately. And I think of, like, you know, fast food restaurants or
high speed internet.
Yeah, all those things. And they kids will see us get frustrated if our, you know, if our wants aren't met
right
immediately. And so we got to teach our kids, you know what, sometimes you have to wait. That's why the phrase, you know, good things to those who wait is a thing. So anyway, number two is give your children opportunities to develop responsibility and to feel valuable. Your children need your help if they are going to learn necessary life skills. They need you to give them regular chores or duties and to hold them accountable for taking care of those duties. In so doing, you will help your children become adults, not just grown-ups.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, and so she said, of course, your kids are going to want to fight you and have power struggles with chores, but just keep going and don't give in. And make sure that the tasks and duties are age appropriate. Like, you don't want, I'm not going to have my 2-year-old do our laundry.
Yeah, yeah. But it's important to, like earlier we talked about, it's important that a teenager knows how to do the laundry, because you should just have them do their own laundry, because when they move out of the house, they need to be able to know how to do those things.
Or it's kind of like we have our kids fold their clothes. Like, I'll wash the clothes, but they fold them.
Yeah.
And tonight we had our kids fold, and our 4-year-old was like, my hands are tired. And part of me just wanted to be like, you know what? Forget it. I'll fold it tonight. Go to bed, you cranky pants.
Yeah.
But we have to teach them to be patient, which is really hard.
Which also helps us to learn patience as well.
Yeah. So she folded that laundry.
So now that I've asked you not to overindulge your kids with their wants, I want to encourage you to overindulge them with love, real love, love that molds and shapes them into young men and women they are meant to become. Patiently help them develop patience, and with persistence and persuasion, give them age-appropriate responsibilities. As you do these things, you'll be preparing their hearts and minds to accept the responsibilities God has planned for them.
I like that.
Yeah. Good ending. Good article.
Right.
Good topic.
Lots of things to work on.
Yeah. So, that's it. We hope we gave you some good food for thought, but thank you for listening to The Clown Car. Parenting is hard, and we believe you should get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our way is not the only way. Find what works for you. You are doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and also email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com, and make sure you subscribe. Rate, review our show on iTunes, and
oh, you messed up.
I did. Until next time, enjoy your circus. You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.